This morning, the title of my message is Knowing and Growing. So kind of cool, you know, Pastor Kirk talking about that, you know, how the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. And, you know, when I was a teenager, I really became inspired to follow Christ. And I really wanted to be a good Christian man. But I really didn't know how. And so I worked really hard. I remember reading my Bible a lot. But it ended up just being a big, long list of things you do and things you don't do. And eventually I just kind of got overwhelmed with it and just turned away from it for a time. The problem was I was trying to do all these things in the strength of my own flesh, my own abilities to be a good person, to do right, to not do wrong. And it was just something that I couldn't do. When I was 23... I came to really understand grace for the first time, which is kind of funny. I grew up in a church, going to Sunday school, going to youth group, and I didn't really understand my salvation until I was 23. And a guy did an illustration in a Sunday school class, and he took a coat hanger, and he said, you know, if you take that coat hanger and you unbend it, if I can do this without a pair of pliers, let's see here. Uh-oh. So, you know, you unbend it, and let's say you wad it up a bit and, you know, make it as uncoat hangerly like as possible. Now, if I took this and tried to rebend it back into the shape of a coat hanger, it'd be really challenging. You know, I mean, I might get something close that might still work a little bit, but, you know, it's always going to be kind of bent. You know, and that's the way we're born. We're born bent to sin. You know, God says that our nature is given to sin from the time we're born. And sin is just, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. That's all sin is. But that's how we're born. And until we really come to become a new creation in Christ, we can't do anything but sin. And even after we become a Christian, if we try to do it in our own strength, we're always going to fail. So when I came to that realization... And here, someone want to try and straighten this out. Here, try and turn this back into a coat hanger. See if you can do that by the end of the sermon. So when I really came to understand that it was what Christ had done, and it was his goodness and his righteousness and his perfect sacrifice on the cross that washed away my sin, and it was his righteousness that made me acceptable to God, not my own, that's when I really became free. That's when I really became able to follow Christ and just have the joy of growing in him and knowing who he was. You know, and through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. So as I start my 59th trip around the sun, I still at times struggle with, you know, what am I supposed to do with my life? You know, I'm an adult now, you know, I'm almost, you know, retirement age. I shouldn't, you know what I want to do with my life. But there's times when life just gets busy, right? Work gets consuming. You got projects at home. You got issues that come up. And sometimes we just make life too complicated. And life is complicated. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's just a real confusing mess. But in some ways, we just need to keep it simple. So I want to put a little diagram up here. And I don't know if the arrows show up there. Maybe if you... click forward another one or something. But anyway, this is just kind of a simple way of thinking about the Christian life. You know, we need to hear from Jesus. So, you know, through hearing his word, through Bible study, through prayer and worship, spending time with him, we can hear God's word and get an idea of who he is, what he requires, what he expects of us. And then we have to ask that question, what's the next step? God, what do you want me to do? What's my next step of obedience? What should I do? And then we obey. And I have there in parentheses, follow and fish, which is something that Pastor Kirk has been talking about. So, you know, we follow Jesus. We do what he asks us to do. We fish for men. We're trying to tell others about Christ. And then from time to time, we need to, you know, say, hey, how's it going? So I said I was going to do this on this side. You know, how did my follow through look? You know, did I do what I said I was going to do? Did I make any changes in my life? You know, how's that working out? So today, my TED Talk is going to be an opportunity, hopefully, for us to really hear from Jesus and to maybe spend a little time and look at how does our lives measure up and how can we obey the Word of God better and understand, you know, what is the next step that he's calling us to in our obedience. So I want to go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. And then we're also going to be in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So if you got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn there with me and we'll read these together and talk about it. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So knowing Jesus enables us to participate in the divine nature. Now, when you read that, it's like, wow, that just sounds wild. You know, it's like, what does that even mean? But really, it's basically when you become a follower of Christ, it says His Spirit makes you a new creation. His Spirit comes into you, and now you are a new creation in Christ. Now, I've read this section of Peter's letter in the past. Again, it's like it's a long list. It's a list of do. And it's like, oh boy, you know, am I measuring up? How am I measuring up with all these things? But, you know, one time recently when we were studying this passage at the Host Elders Bible Study, which meets at Wednesday at 6 p.m. for anyone who's sure, something kind of clicked with me that I hadn't really seen before. You know, this list in 2 Peter kind of parallels the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5. So let's read that now. Galatians 5:16 says, So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh craves what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are opposed to each other so that you do not know what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy and rage, rivalries, divisions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us walk in step with the Spirit. So let's look at these verses side by side. And as we do this, just ask yourself, you know, is there evidence of these things in my life? If there is no evidence, then you might be in a position of being nearsighted and blind. And you need to ask yourself, God, you know, I need to figure out what's going on here and get back on track. If you're living according to your fleshly desires, as it says in Galatians, you might be in trouble. You really want to get right with that. But also, I just want you to be asking, you know, God, what is it that you're speaking to me today? What's my next step of obedience? So let's look at this chart here. And again, I'm sorry, I'm an engineer. I like charts, I like graphs, I like figures. It's just the way it is in my mind. So first of all, faith. Faith is basically placing your trust in God. It's committing to follow Jesus and saying, you know what, that's the only path I see. I'm committing myself to that no matter what. It starts by repenting, turning away from our sins, committing our lives to Him. Goodness. It's virtue and holiness in action. You know, and I love this. It's just such a simple idea. You know, if you're following God, His goodness is in you. You want to do good things for others. It could be caring for your neighbor. It could be helping out a coworker. Lots of ways to express this. Knowledge. Knowledge is learning more about the Lord we follow and really understanding this in a context of obedience. We can do that, you know, by, you know, sitting here, we're gaining some knowledge. You know, going to a small group, we're gaining knowledge. You know, really important that you're spending time on your own, listening to God's word, you know, reading God's word in prayer and worship. All these things help us to know more about the Lord, about his heart for us, and about what he's calling us to do. Self-control is the ability to say no to our baser desires and lusts. Pretty obvious, you know, there's times we want to do things that we just shouldn't do. And if we have self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, you were able to say no to those things. You know, if your life shows a lack of self-control, then, again, you really need to draw close to Jesus. Repent and receive healing to be able to gain that. Perseverance and faithfulness is believing God that he is who he says he is, no matter what happens. You know, there's times when it's like, okay, nothing makes sense. I you know, there's times you clearly hear from God and you go down a path and it just doesn't work out or things fall apart. So the question is, how do you respond when life throws crap at you? Because it's going to happen. It happens all the time. And, you know, how do we respond? Do we just keep believing God and keep going forward? Or do we get turn back and start going the other direction? Godliness. Living a fruitful, obedient life. And I kind of couple this with, from Galatians, the joy, peace, and patience. Because, you know, those things kind of are part of the feedback. You know, if we're living a godly life, God gives us joy. He gives us peace in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of, you know, again, the stuff that happens to us in life. He gives us patience. So when you're living an obedient life and responding to circumstances well, the Holy Spirit is there giving you these things. Kindness. Kindness is tender, benevolent, and usefulness to others. I just love that. You know, this is so needed in this world today. If I can give you one little thing to take away today, you know, it's like, just look at for every situation to be kind. You know, you're in the store, you know, and the cashier person or whatever is, you know, doesn't want to make eye contact with you, you know, just be kind to them. You know, you're at a restaurant, you know, be kind to your server. There's so many ways to show kindness, and it's just so needed in this world. Finally, love. Love is self-sacrificial, outward-looking care for others. So these character traits Peter talks about, they're also really, they're fruit. They're the beneficial results of the Spirit. And again, in the past years of my life, I would look at this list and I would make a checklist of things I should be doing and maybe, you know, ways I can make every effort, right? Because that's what it says. It says make every effort. What God's word says. We need to make every effort to add these things. But how do we do this? Maybe that's the question. What kind of work is it? So Galatians 3:3, it says, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? So we can go to the next one. Might need to click forward there.
I didn't set it up that way, Ted, sorry.
Okay, all right. There's supposed to be a verse up there. Not sure what happened, but okay, so the joke is supposed to be you foolish Galatians, fleshly works are for fools, but you know, do you guys remember the tricks, rabbit? Okay. All right. So, the point here being that, you know, we can't do in the flesh what only God can do by his Spirit. You know, we can work really hard, but if we're not working according to the work of the Spirit, it accomplishes nothing. So let's think about this. How do you make fruit grow? I mean, you don't go out and, you know, get fruit and stick it on the tree, right? You know, you make fruit grow by you plant something, or you know, something's already planted and you tend it, or you give it good sunlight, good water. make sure it's got nutrients in the soil. If we can go to the next one. Maybe we're frozen here on the church rabbits. okay. So we've got a big, huge elderberry bush. Oh, hey, there we go. we got a big, huge elderberry bush growing in our side yard. This picture of it here. And there's elderberries just all over this thing. And actually, you know, Greg was in here earlier with his military gear on. Last year, he came and picked a bunch and brought us back jelly. And I'm like, that's like, you know, the greatest deal ever. You know, all I got to do is make my bush available and somebody else brings me jelly. But this bush actually, you know, we didn't plant it. It was there when we moved in. Whether the birds planted it or the previous owners, we don't know. But it's in a nice spot. It gets lots of water. It gets lots of sunlight. Apparently, the soil's pretty good there. And it just grows like crazy. It makes elderberries. And, you know, occasionally elderberries make pie. And elderberry pie makes me happy. So, you know, again, you know, there's fruit and it brings joy, right? Yeah. So, and it's interesting because different types of fruit trees, you know, grow better in different places. Like apple trees. You know, apple trees need wintertime, you know, because wintertime gives them dormancy. They tend to produce better the next year after a hard winter. You know, that's not the case for orange trees, right? You don't see orange trees growing in Northeast Ohio. They just don't work here. So one of the things we've got to remember here is that, you know, where you're planted, God wants you to bear fruit. He planted you where you are for whatever reason is in his kingdom's purpose. And so, you know, where God has planted you, that's where he wants you to bear fruit. Kirk's been talking about this a lot the last couple weeks. Knowing Jesus, walking out our obedience, you know, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what causes this good fruit to grow and makes us, you know, something that can benefit the world. So in Proverbs, talking about wisdom again, it says, "Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord and you will gain knowledge of God." So how do we grow in the kind of practical knowledge of God that gives us everything we need for life and godliness? I want to talk about three simple reminders that make this possible for every one of us. Don't neglect sitting at Jesus' feet. After you hear, don't put off obedience. And three, you got to be willing to suffer. So first, let's look at this. Don't neglect sitting at Jesus' feet. The story of Mary in Luke chapter 10. It says, "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.'" Which is hysterical. I can just, you know, I think Martha must have probably shared that with her and Mary's dad at one point in her life. You know, like, "Dad, she's not helping. Will you tell her to help me?" Anyway, Jesus says, "The Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details, but there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her.'" So, you know, we can't really obey until we hear, right? We've got to know what God is speaking to us. And it's so easy to get caught up in life. You know, even, you know, Martha, she's preparing dinner for Jesus. You know, that's really important. But it wasn't the most important thing. We can neglect this so easily and get caught up in so many things that the world is doing, you know, and there's so many messages bombarding us from, you know, wherever you get your information from. But we've got to make listening a habit, you know, and it's, some of it's kind of passive, right? Like this is a passive form of listening, right? You're sitting here, I'm talking, you're hopefully catching some of the things I'm saying, and hopefully God is speaking through that. You know, again, small groups are great. I really encourage you, if you're not part of a small group, find one, get involved with one, form one, Because when you sit together with a small group and you go through scripture together, it stirs your soul. It brings things to light that you might not have thought about before. And it puts you into a habit again of, hey, I'm going to do this on a regular basis, all the time, because I need it. And third, spend time in prayer and worship daily. You know, we just need to make habits. You know, for example, this past winter, every time I got on the treadmill, I'd listen to either scripture or worship music. Sometimes I listened to books. But it was like, you know, I'm going to make use of this time. I'm going to put the Word of God into my head, even if it's not like serious studying. Like, I'm not sitting down with my computer like I do sometimes. But it's like the Word of God is washing over my soul. You know, make your habits beneficial to your knowledge of to gaining knowledge of Jesus. You know, maybe when you're in the car, you know, you got a long drive, take part of that. Listen to scripture. You know, listen, do some worship. Second, we need to hear and obey. So knowledge must lead to action, or we may just forget that we've been cleansed. In reality, in America, we tend to do the first part, right? We get a lot of knowledge, but we don't have a lot of application or obedience. James 1:25 says, "But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." Again, the main point I want to make today is going back to that diagram. If you go to the next slide there. You know, we need to hear from Jesus. We need to ask, what's my next step? And we need to obey. And then, you know, ask ourselves, how's it going? You know, and this is where a small group comes in handy. You know, you can have things where you talk about, hey, you said you were going to do this last week. How'd it go? So the verse in James, it talks about looking in a mirror. You know, and sometimes that seems weird to us. It's like, well, of course I'm not going to forget what I look like. You know, sometimes I'd like to. But, you know, we look in the mirror, you know, and that's what God's word is. It's showing us, hey, here's what you're supposed to look like. You know, how do you measure up? And again, you know, that doesn't just make us a list of things we're supposed to do, but it tells us, okay, you know, I've really been short with people. I'm not showing kindness. I've really been, you know, not patient. Or maybe I really don't care about people around me. You know, there's no love there. It's very easy to get in those modes where you're just so busy with life that you don't see any of the stuff going on around you because you're so consumed with your own little world. You know, and that's, everybody has that struggle to some extent. That's why we need to go back to God's word. You know, and God's word tells us, hey, you're supposed to care for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're supposed to care for the world outside you. You're supposed to care for the ones in prison and the sick and the poor and the needy. And we ask ourselves, God, how am I supposed to do that? That brings us to the last point, which is we have to be willing to suffer. You know, Jesus never said anywhere that serving him was easy. He never said anywhere that being a Christian was, you know, just a smooth walk through life. Yes, there is joy, there is blessing, there is goodness. The goodness of God follows us all the days of our lives, and that's true. You know, and I know in my life, I'm so glad that I've had Christ in my life for the last 35 years. Math skills are diminishing. But it's like, you know what? That's not just the end of it, right? God calls us to be a part of his hands and feet in this world. The path sometimes is hard. It involves paying price, a price of sacrifice. Jesus asks us to lay down our lives, to pick up our cross, and to follow him. So Philippians 3:10 says this. It says, "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead." And then in Romans 8:17 it says, "And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his sufferings. So how exactly are we to suffer with Christ? And there, I think there's a lot of ways that this takes shape. You know, immediately, our minds tend to go toward, looking at the physical suffering that Jesus went through, right? You know, he took our sin upon himself. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was crucified. He had that crown of thorns put on his head. But there's so much more to suffering with Christ than that physical part of it. Some of it's just suffering through difficulty. You know, for me, my biggest temptations to disobey Christ come when I'm in a tough time, right? So if like circumstances are really pressing on you, you get tempted to go outside of God's plan for your life, you know? You're like, hey, you know what? I just want to, go out and get drunk because I'll feel better for at least a few minutes. Or you think, you know what? I just want to go off on my own and ignore people for a long time because I'm just tired of people. And there's things that we want to do because life is hard. Sometimes it's because the thing that God is calling you to is hard. And you say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go and reconcile to this person that I've been, had a broken relationship with for all these years. It'd be embarrassing to go talk to him now. I don't want to do that. Or you think, I don't want to talk to my neighbor. They're not nice. And I just would rather just write them out of my life rather than trying to be God's ambassador to them. You know, we're very prone to choose comfort over holiness. You know, it's the same thing. It's like, with physical exercise, do I want to get on the treadmill or do I want to watch TV and eat potato chips? quite often I want to do the latter. But yet, all right, if I'm going to, hopefully, live a decent life and still have the ability to get up and around, I need to do some exercise at my age, at my advanced age. But, sometimes we just think, I don't want to get in other people's business. I got enough business of my own to deal with. I don't want to deal with somebody else's business too. And that's honestly one of my big struggles is, if you want to show me you love me, don't cause me any problems. And I think a lot of men really, that's their mindset. You know what? If you love me, I wouldn't have to deal with any of your crap. But God calls us to go and take on other people's problems. And it's, my first reaction is always, I wouldn't have gotten myself in that situation, but I get myself in all kinds of other situations. But anyway, that's another story. But God's calling us to have compassion, right? And we need to suffer with people. And I think this is a big part of the suffering that Christ calls us to. He calls us to suffer with all the things in this world that are going on. And sure, so much of it is self-induced. So much craziness, so much pain out there. But God's calling us to not give up, to enter into those things, and to be a part of Him ministering and reconciling Himself to this world. It could be someone that you love that has physical issues, and they have a lot of burdens that you can help carry. It could be a loved one who's not saved. Or maybe they're backslidden, and you see them making choices that just hurt them. And sometimes their bad choices spill over on you, and you have to deal with it. Again, my tendency is to say, I just want to write them off, never talk to them again, so I don't have to deal with that. But God's saying, no, I'm calling you to suffer with them, to love them, and to stick with it, to keep praying for them, because He's still going to work in their life till the last breath. He's not going to give up on them. And we can't either. Sometimes when we come to understand the depth of pain in this world, You know, and we just can't ignore it anymore. I don't know, how many of you have seen that Sound of Freedom movie? Anybody out there? You know, it's the main character, his story is, you know, he became aware of this child trafficking situation, and he chose to quit his government job and to full-time try to rescue children from being trafficked. And those are the kind of things where it's like, you know, there's times God brings something to your attention and you just have to say, okay, God, I kind of wish that didn't exist. I really wish that didn't exist. I wish I didn't have to deal with it. But, you know, I can't just isolate myself in my little world anymore and pretend it doesn't exist. And God is calling us, hey, suffer with the world. The world is suffering. The world is suffering badly because of sin. And the devil wants to hold them there and leave them suffering until they die and go to hell. But God's saying, hey, you guys got the light. You guys got the answer. We have the knowledge of what Jesus has done, the fact that his death on the cross is sufficient for everyone's sin, the fact that his Holy Spirit can come into a life and change it and make it into a new life, a new creation. And he wants us to get in the game. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. So think about that, you know. Who are the least among us? Who's the least in your world that comes to your mind? And Jesus wants us to suffer till the end. You know, we can't give up or give in. Jesus, he knows our limits. He knows what we're able to do. He knows what we're not able to do. He won't call us to do things we can't do. But Galatians 6:9, if you can put that one up there, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So, God is so good, and his mercy endures forever. He loves us so much. He wants to do so many good things in your life. And even though, you know, sometimes it can seem really hard, know that God works in us step by step. And that's what's so beautiful about this idea, you know, and this is what's been freeing to me. It's like, okay, you know, there's this big, huge world of problems out there, but God, what is the one thing you want me to do now? You know, just keep it that simple. What's the one thing you want me to do today? You know, what's the one thing you want me to do tomorrow? And just walk in obedience to that. And as we do that, again, God, by his Spirit, is changing us. He's making us more godly. He's making us full of joy and peace and patience. He's giving us the goodness that we can help to spread in this world that needs it so badly. So just going back to that slide, you know, just don't neglect sitting at Jesus' feet. After you hear, don't put off obedience and be willing to suffer. Because in the end, it's going to be worth it for you and for the people that God is able to touch through you. So if you stand with me, please, we'll pray. Father God, we just thank you so much that, God, that you were willing to suffer with us. Father, I know that I've caused you suffering, not only just on the cross for my sin, but God, even as after I've been saved, the stupid things I do sometimes, Lord God, and how short I fall, Lord, of your goodness. But God, I'm just so grateful that you never give up on us, Lord. You never gave up on me. You continue to work in my life and draw me closer and closer to you. God, I just pray that our hearts would just be stirred to just want to know you more, to just want to follow you more closely, and just to see what you can do, God. Because when I look at my life, God, and all the goodness that you've given me, Lord, I want to see that for others. I want to see that for people in this world who have no idea that there is a hope in you. Lord, I want to see lives restored, broken hearts mended, people that are just without any hope in this world, Lord, to be put in a place of standing on a solid rock and just looking to you for everything they need, Lord God. Jesus, you are able. You are a great and mighty God. Lord, let us never lose sight of that or to lose hope for this world, because you are the hope of the world. How can there not be hope when you are the hope of the world? And God, how can there be a problem too big when you are the hope of the world? Jesus, give us just fresh eyes to see the things that you're doing in this world, in this day and age. And God, tell us what you want us to be doing as a part of it, Lord God. What is that one thing you want us to do? And help us to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.